Now, people outside the glory, they won't enter in. They can enter in, but they just don't. They'll look to a person that will and ask for his help. Anybody can enter into the next glory if they'll just do what Jesus said do. If they'll humble themselves before the Lord, there's nothing to stop you from going forward. But you got to break through the confines of culture, the doubts of your own mind, the other people's doubts, the resistance of the devil and his bunch, the demons and evil men. You can break through all that stuff, and the Word of God will help you do it. But some people, as wise as they are, sometimes you can be wiser than the person that will go into the next glory. See, they humble themselves and they continue to learn. You might have started off smarter and wiser. But when people don't enter into the next glory, and for some reason, some people will go and some people don't. And sometimes the people that don't go, they happen to start off smarter. And why? They made better grades in school. They made better decisions for themselves personally. They may not be in debt. They may be wise enough to stay out of debt. But the person that go into the next glory, they're hungry for God. And the Lord trained, he can train them. And whatever they lack, he can compensate. And they become wise as they enter into the next glory. What in the world are you talking about, the next glory? If you take time, I'll put it this way. Jesus taught about being born again. But John made a statement in 1 John. He said, he talked about being born of God. Now watch what he said about being born of God. I talk about this from time to time because nobody seems to get a hold of this. 1 John 3, and I think it's 3 and 9. Yeah, here it is. 1 John 3 and 9. 1 John 3 and 9, he said, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his sin remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Now that word, now I don't see any italicized words here. This is something else beside being born again. Being born again is getting saved. That's a glory. Being born of God is a person who get born again and then they continue to learn from the Lord and Christ is formed in them and they grow from glory to glory like Paul was talking about until Christ is formed in them. Then now they're born of God. See, you can't fill your heart with God's word and learn to live by the Spirit according to Romans chapter 8. And learn to live according to the love of God, like 1 Peter talk about and 1 John talk about, and then go and commit sin. When you're born of God, it goes back to what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. He showed us the stages it takes to be born of God. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance, you know, and so on and so forth. It came down to what verse 8 or verse 9, he that do these things will never fall. It may have been 10. See, when you're born of God, you can't sin. So he went on to say some other things about being born of God. He gave description. When you're born of God, you operate like Christ. Christ is formed in you now. Not just a baby anymore. Not just a person needing milk, but you can eat steak. You grow. You like, he said, I speak to you fathers because you know the Lord. Young men, because they're strong. See now, young men, they're on their way, but the fathers, they know the Lord. See, you when you're born of God, you can do what you normally couldn't do. And you can grow from glory to glory. So when you, as you enter into greater glories, you start seeing things in a greater way. And God can use you in a greater way. Your anointing, he can anoint you to do more. Your anointing He anoints you one time in the beginning, but he can pour more oil on you. You find your anointing getting stronger. One time the Lord had me to study the Psalms for a season, not just a month or two, for a season. And I said, Lord, why do you keep me in the Psalms right now? He said, because I need to make an adjustment in your anointing. He wanted me to see some things that the Psalms gave. I needed elements from the Psalms. One time he kept me from 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles for a season. And he taught me about people. And that was a glory. The understanding I got from it was, like some people say, another level. That was another glory to me. See, the glory of God, it operates in different stages. Some people will enter in. If you don't enter, it's just like I was saying earlier. Salvation is a glory. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a glory. And you're having a strong relationship with the Lord is a glory. Being able to dialogue with the Lord one-on-one, like an elder would, or like the apostles did. As you graduate from glory to glory, you know, a person that will draw near to the Lord, he's gonna give him grace. But people that won't draw near, he can't. People that's proud, he resists. And they can't understand or appreciate or value what's inside the glory. But people who enter in, they can appreciate it. They'll walk in it. They receive their calling. They receive what God wants them to do. You have to embrace what God is doing. Here's another example. Getting saved is a glory. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a glory. Continual church attendance leads to going to the next glory. Being faithful is a glory. Now watch this. Now you get called to the ministry. Now some people do all of that. They love God with all their heart, or most of it anyway. But when they call to preach, they put their tennis shoes on and run the other way. My dad did. He joined World War II running. He told me to himself. He was running from the Lord. He didn't want to be a preacher. He didn't want to enter into that glory, but he had received salvation. He was in Sunday school when they bombed Pearl Harbor. He joined World War II, but he also told me he joined it because he didn't want to be a preacher. He thought he could get out of it. But he couldn't. A lady met him on the bus and said, I'm going to pray for you and you coming back home. And he came back home. He said he was over there in China. He almost drowned. He said he was in underwater long enough to drown four men. When he got free of that water, he went straight to the chaplain, been preaching ever since. And he loved it. And his ministry wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient. A lot of preachers were able to live in the neighborhood and preach in the neighborhood. He had to drive an hour to every church he ever pastored until he retired. And when he retired, he pastored a church that was about 40 minutes away down in Village Springs. About 35 minutes from our house, I guess. But that was the closest church he ever pastored. When he went to Utah, he'd spend the weekend in Utah. They had a parsonage. But he lived in Birmingham. That's where he worked. So he'd just go up there on the weekend. They had a project apartment parsonage right across the street from the church. And he pastored three churches in that area part-time. He preached at one church one Sunday, two churches the next Sunday. And he had every weekend, he'd come to he'd go to Utah to preach, and then Sunday evening, he'd go back home. Monday morning, he's back at work at U.S. Pipe. Never complained about it. You know, I thought this stuff was normal. I thought what my parents did was normal. My mom never did say, I'm tired of going down there. You need to ask the bishop, can you just pastor somewhere else? Why don't you just quit? She never did that. They both enjoyed it. They were willing and obedient. And God blessed them. Their retirement was almost as long as my career. My father passed in 2010. My mother passed, went on to be with the Lord in 2015. And then I retired in 2021. So they, you know, I still have my business, and I don't ever plan to really retire. So, but my work career, my job, I almost, you know, 10 more years, my daddy would have lived my whole career, retired. So now, God bless them. And 6 more years for my mom. You know, I love what God can do. When you go to the next glory, there are things in the next glory that you're gonna love. But people who exclude themselves, they can't know what's in there. And this goes for knowledge too. Some preachers, and I've heard good preachers, they don't read books. They only read the Bible. They don't read other people's books. All right. Now let me say something. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, the Lord raised people up for what he needs. And there are many needs in the earth. Now, I understand that your ministry is going to do a function. It's a sanction. All right. You're set apart to do a specific work. Like my work. The Lord helped me. God called me to be an apostle. He let me face some things. And I minister to people. And mostly to help them follow God. That's where God gave me. That's where the greatest need is. If people will just obey him and do exactly what he say, he can get more done. So that became a very important part of my ministry. I teach a lot of things, but mainly to teach people how to follow God. Because that's how you get to the next glory and live. So sometimes people that don't go to the next glory, I've seen people go do some amazing things. I wasn't trying to critique them at all. I don't know how they took it, but I knew I went with a message to many pastors saying follow God, because God wanted to usher them into a greater glory. If they would have trusted the Lord, not me, but the Lord, if they would have trusted what God gave me to tell them, they would have entered into a greater glory. And I was just a watchman trying to tell them what God told me. So the Lord gave me responsibilities, and I do what he said do. I do the assignments that he gave, and it works. All right. God raised up other people to do the same thing. He raised up Henry Gruber to be a prayer walker and take back territory from the enemy that had fallen away through prayer walking and remitting sins. And throwing down things of darkness and setting people free from satanic captivity. And then my pastor, he's anointed to, he has a healing ministry. And he get people healed, and it helps people understand the Lord, and those that already love God, it helps them finish their course. And he trained people to be champions. And his son, well, my pastor, he's my pastor now, and he gives people good research. And he continues to do the things of God. Everything is necessary. Every type of ministry is necessary. I read my pastor's book, The Final Lap. So he wrote a book, a good book, recommended to. But, and there was a lot of things in there that was very necessary to go to the next glory, to not be limited anymore, to seek the Lord and do things that people are not doing. Well, when you do these things, the Holy Spirit's right there to take you forward. And I know this. But see, when people say, well, I just read the Bible, I don't read other people's books. They're limiting themselves. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I love to read other people's books to get another perspective from the Holy Spirit. And I, some of the things that the Lord told me, for instance, and he raised, and I thank God for Mary Johnson. She's over our Sunday school department, and Fresh Start Breakfast Club, and she had us to study a book by Fuchsia Pickett, The Next Move of God. And I was able to hear Fuchsia Pickett back in the 80s. But she said some things back before I was born that God gave me as a grown man. When I look back, I'm like, the Lord, He saw my day coming. He already had a witness to what was necessary. And she wrote about the next move of God. She likened it to the hydroelectric dam and how it works. God went around the religious bunch that wouldn't do nothing but gripe and complain. And he raised up people that would receive the essence of what he wanted to do. I'm looking at this. It encouraged it, you know, in other broadcasts I talked about that. See, if you read, if you're hungry for the Lord will alert you to people you need to be listening to. There are ministers out there that have entered into glories that I never thought about. When I studied, when I listened to Henry Gruber talking about prayer walk, I had never heard about prayer walk, but I actually prayer walked myself. I just didn't know it. When I did the Good Newsletter, that was one of my first assignments. Before, you know, other assignments I had to help. I had to preach at churches, you know. Well, that's not my, I'm just assisting another pastor then. This was not something that I could call my own ministry. I'm a minister and I'm ministering. I'm doing God's work. But this was my first personal assignment that I had full control over, the Good Newsletter in the neighborhood I lived in. And then the first time I got ready to pass out the newsletters, they were like one sheet of paper printed on both sides, and I'd fold them up and pass them out in the neighborhood. And it had my information on there, Good Newsletter, a heading, and the word that God wanted to give. So I had 1,000 copies done. I folded them up, and I wanted to go pass them out, but it was raining. I couldn't do it because it was raining. I looked out the window, saw the Mormons on bicycles, and I got mad because I wanted to be out there doing what I was supposed to do. They out there preaching what they preach, but I wanted to go out there and preach what God gave me. What God gave me was of God. And I'm looking out there, they're telling people stuff that's not of God. They preach another Jesus. I know that doctrine. But I couldn't do nothing about it. So I got mad. And I wanted to do something. So I prayed. And I prayed earnestly. That, you know, I said that about the Mormons. I love the Mormons too. But their doctrine's off. And they don't stop God from loving them, but the things that they teach, I studied that doctrine before, it's off. Okay, it's just how it is. A lot of people's belief system is just off. But when you have the truth and you want to do something, I was motivated, so I prayed. Then when I passed them out, I was praying for the work, rebuking the enemy. And guess what happened? The gunfight stopped. They had a gunfight every other weekend. For 6 years, they had a gunfight every other weekend. Often, sometimes two or three on the same weekend. Then it may go a week without a gunfight, then another one pop up. But nobody ever got killed because I listened to the Believer's Authority tape series by Kenneth Hagin. Mr. Austin let me use his tape series, and I listened to it for 30 days before I gave it back. And then the gunfight started breaking out, and that word was in my heart, and the Lord told me, helped me to receive it, and I used it. So it worked, so I kept doing it. Then when I prayer walked, guess what? All them gunfights stopped. From the time I did the first page, you know, the first good newsletter, till I left that neighborhood, there were no more gunfights. Now, and nobody ever died in those years. So prayer walking works, but when I listened to Henry Gruber, he had entered into that glory. I didn't know. I still didn't. I had when that happened for me, I said, "People ain't gonna believe this." And many times I didn't bother to tell people too much later on in life. But guess what? It works. You know. I'm so enthused about people going to the next glory because I know people are gonna live. The more people go to the next glory, I know you have to trust God for the Holy Spirit to usher you into it. But see, Jesus put it this way. He said, many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. Some people fail to go to the next glory. It doesn't matter what kind of platform you have or whether you don't have one at all. If you enter into the next glory and you're willing and obedient to God, and you come to the point you'll do whatever God say, and you'll do specifically what God says with enthusiasm, He can make the difference. If you don't have a TV ministry, God can cause you to do something that millions of people will partake of. You know, I think of Dana Coverstone. He had a dream, and it was so relevant. He has dreams. But when the first one he had, it didn't take long to get 200,000 hits. And he's a pastor of a local church, a local guy. This is what I'm talking about. And people all around the world listen to his teachings now. You don't have to even have a church. But if you enter into the next glory and do what God has given you to do, God can make the difference. If you don't have the education and you enter into the glory, God can make the difference. He can cause you to say what is covenant appropriate. And I long to see people, especially people that's wise. But sometimes the people that's wise won't enter into the next. They got a reason for how they do things. Sometimes people stick with doctrines and formats and, you know, culture persuasions. They stick to the way that they know to do it. They do the methods of others that they love. And just like the pastors that only read the Bible, they don't read other people's books. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That includes the written word, of course. That includes the written word, what the Holy Spirit speaks to you personally, what the Holy Spirit speaks through others, the books and CDs and tapes and movies and, you know, that other people, the Holy Spirit, you know, Kenneth Copeland did a Victory Channel. Well, he's on it anyway. And I thank God for the Victory Channel. It's a new channel. And I love to listen to that channel stays on all day on one of my TVs at least. And sometimes I sit down, I want to watch something else, but I listen to the Victory Channel and I get blessed every day. And I love that. And they play tapes, old tapes of not tape, well, movies or video clips of Charles Capps when he was alive. He's gone to be with the Lord many years now, but he has a program on there. And I learned so many principles. Charles Capps helped me enter into many glories because I spoke the word by faith. I make confessions and shape my life by confessions. Every time I want to make a change, I speak with my mouth. And I was telling my wife this. Everything you want change, speak it with your mouth. That's why I call them Charles Capps Confessions, because his assignment was to teach people to speak faith. God raised up Kenneth Hagin to teach us, to bring us back to, in modern times, to bring us back to faith. He raised up Smith Wigglesworth at the turn of the century to bring us into faith. And other men too. Lester Sumrall, Howard Carter, so many wonderful men and women of God. And I'm not trying to leave out the women either. Gloria Copeland is a modern day faith teacher. So is Taffy Dollar. I watched her today. And Creflo Dollar is a wonderful man of God. My nephew went to his church. A few years ago, I was one of his partners. So God raised up people to do great works. And I read their books and listen to their tapes. I've been blessed by Kenneth Copeland for a long time. And don't let people talk about people either. Because Jesus, one of the things that the characteristics of Jesus, he didn't go by the hearing of the ear or the seeing of the eye, but with righteousness he made judgments. He made his judgments by the Holy Ghost. So I don't let people tell me negative stuff about others. If there's something wrong, the Holy Spirit will show it to me. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is after redemption. And I want redemption for people. I want to see people go to the next glory. I'm not trying to minimize their life. And I'm not going to talk about God's people. And I know people get upset because some people are very wealthy. But it's not about how wealthy you are. It's how you got it and what you do with it. But God loves his people. See, He's gonna have a representative of every glory of society. He's gonna have ministers that's wealthy, some that's not wealthy materially, but all of his people, they'll be wealthy spiritually. They follow him. And so, to some people, I'm wealthy. I'm not a very rich man. I've got more than enough. But I don't have $1 million here on earth. I've got assets. I've got great spiritual wealth. Some people got both. They got big bank accounts and several homes and cars. That doesn't matter. It's how you got it and what you do with it. And some people have a hut. But guess what? The gospel of Jesus Christ is prosperity all by itself. We are linked to God. We are daughters, sons and daughters of God now through Christ. So consider these things. Go to the next glory and bring dead things to life. Jesus brought dead men to life. As he is, so are we in this world. Now I close with that. I love what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4. As he is, so are we in this world. And Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Don't think it's robbery to be equal with God. We're linked to him by the Holy Spirit. When we yield and we're faithful, we become an extension of his will. We become an extension to others. And through our works, we provoke people to go to the next glory. We encourage people sometimes to go to the next glory. Sometimes we preach a fiery message and pull them out of the fire. All these things are necessary. Sometimes we teach and people enter into the next glory. And we always love people into the next glory. But they that are without, they don't know, they can't value what they're missing. And they that are within, they know better. So always take the high ground. Always take the high road. Be the bigger man or bigger woman. Don't let the little foxes steal your grapes or steal the vine or spoil the vine. That's what I'm trying to say. But enter into that next glory. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty to move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord. Live in victory. Live your life and be covenant appropriate with covenant laughter.